And so a good Bible, if you need a Bible, by the way, we'd love to give you one. A good journal or a notepad would be very helpful, because you will want to consider further than just this sermon what is being said to us here in this particular text. All that to say is that we are at a gripping part of the narrative, and I'm going to ask Sean, my brother Sean, if you can bring me those glasses that are right there so that I can see. And on that day, I will not have to wear these. So, but since I'm still on this side of eternity, I have to wear these, right? Praise the Lord. He is good. He is gracious to allow us this opportunity. I don't know about you, but I consider it an amazing, humbling opportunity that I am even allowed to hear this truth. And that God would open my eyes to see things I could never see on my own. And that's what I'm seeing here. And as we jump right back in mid-stride in Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 12. So what happens after what you heard last Sunday? Here's what happens. He says at verse 12, "This is the word of the Lord. Then the men said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it.' So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, 'Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city.' But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned," verse 15, "the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city.' But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to them. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away.' And Lot said to them, 'Oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved.' And he said to them, 'Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there.' Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little. Thus is the reading of the infallible, inerrant word of God." Brothers and sisters, would you pray with me? Gracious, omnipotent, heavenly Father, thank you for the weight of these words that confront us. Thank you, Father, for not allowing us to skip over this. Thank you, Lord, for sovereignly decreeing that we would be right here in this moment, at this place. May we, as your people, know what you want us to know. And may we be compelled, enabled by your Spirit to do what you want us to do. Show us, reveal what only you can show us, Lord. Because we understand that divine revelation is meant for our salvation. And we seek the rescue that only you can provide. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What's going on here, brothers and sisters? What it's easy to see that we're dealing with an incredible interaction. Lot has just been confronted. He's been living in Sodom at this point. Pastor Eddie unpacked some of the details. You can listen to that. But he's been living. He's now become one of them, so to speak. Even though he is, because of the promise, he is set apart. He is in sin. And there are four words that I want to leave with you this morning under the title which I've given to this sermon: Lot's sin, God's mercy. By the way, you can find this at cbccorpuschristi.com. Right up above the video is the worship guide. You can see these references there, but the title of the sermon is Lot's Sin, God's Mercy. And what I've come to understand is that apparently there are a lot of lots. A lot of lots. But here are the four words under the heading, under the title, Lot's Sin, God's Mercy. The first one is longing. Longing for sin. We are, because of the fall, we are in our own human nature prone to sin. Some say prone to wander, but we wander because we desire sin. We long to sin. It sounds science sometimes counterintuitive for some of us who've been taught differently, but that is the starting place. We know this because the text reveals this to us. Longing. Longing for sin. The second thing we see here, as Lot's progression gets a little worse, we see a living in sin. He's no longer outside the city. He's now in the city to the point where he's now at the gate. He's longed for sin. Now he's living in sin. And then verse 16, those unbelievable, powerful words that should grip all of us. There is a lingering. Lot is lingering in sin. But then the day of reckoning comes. He is confronted with, he understands quickly what is going on. He even knows the severity, and even then, he is struggling with his sin. But that day of reckoning comes, and it leads him, he is called to leave his sin. So we have a longing for sin, a living in sin. We have a lingering in sin, and then God's mercy drops in, and we are called to leave our sin. Praise be to God. And so as we contemplate what that means, and as we look at this text together again, we have to understand that these men who were the two, remember the unbelievable theophany and Abraham walking with God in that moment, the two are sent. They obviously, some supernatural event took place, and they show up at the city, and they are taking care of business because they are basically revealing to us that they've been sent to do this thing. Don't miss the fact that God had already intended that this was his plan. But the two have showed up and they ask Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out. For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Imagine the conviction, the spiritual tension that's going on inside of Lot, who only by the prayers of his uncle and the intercessory prayers, and only because of the promise of God Almighty, of Yahweh, he knows there's something going on. Uh-oh, that time has come. And this is real. But because of the fact that his longing had caused him to begin to live in his sin, he obviously was not testifying of God's mercy and grace. He obviously wasn't living in a way that would seek the respect or to cause others to revere and want and desire the Lord. We know this because it's unfortunate what is revealed to us about a man who was really far from God in many ways, although chosen. So Lot went out and said, verse 14, to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters. Just that whole idea. And again, Pastor Eddie alluded to some of that, so you can hear those details in that sermon. And he says that he goes to them. I mean, after not telling them all this time, not living it in front of, nothing, all of a sudden, this one moment's going to convince them, right? Wrong. Up. Get out of the place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. Why? Oh, I think of the intercession of prayer that Abraham had with the Lord as he was going, if there's, you know, from 50 all the way down to 10. And just the sadness of that moment. One cursory reading as I was looking at that, it just moved me to tears as the weight of that interaction fell on me. And I understood what was going on. There is no one righteous except the one who is made righteous by God. It's an imputed righteousness that Lot had. Lot did not have anything of himself. He did not command that kind of, Lot, I can see you're serious. Even if they saw that he was serious, they didn't believe him. They didn't see anything in his life that would draw them to anything. And yet that is you. Now, the fast forward into the gospel clarion call for all of us. We are called to be a light to the world. That we would lift up the Lord as we lifted up Christ in worship this morning. That all would be drawn to him. All who are his, that is. But here we have this tension. Things are happening. Now, you also understand this whole thing that we're reading in Genesis 18 and 19 is a day's event. I mean, it's amazing what you see happening late night, late into the wee hours of the morning, into the dawn breaking. It is an amazing series of event in this particular time frame. But Lot's longing for that which is... It has to remind you of how this all started as he chose to go down to the lush valley, as he sought comfort, as he sought to really please the desires of his own eyes, that he began to see and desire things. And this is what it has culminated into this. And of course, we're not done yet. There's so much more. But in this particular section of the text, we can learn that Lot's no different from any of us. We have longed for things we shouldn't. And it has caused us to live in ways we shouldn't. And then we linger too long. We should get out, but we linger because of this longing and this living. And it's become a way of life now, even though something deep inside tells us this is wrong. But what I'm here to share this morning, and as I read some of the other texts that we're going to deal with, I want you to see that all of that is sad. Yes, it is. It is sad for every single one of us. But then God's mercy breaks in. Amen? It is the mercy of God that is our only hope. Because the mercy of God drops in and calls you out. And he calls you to repentance. He calls you to leave that life. Even if you've been doing it for 20 years. Even if you've been living like this for a year or for 30, it doesn't matter. At some point, my prayer, our prayer, is that God would call you out once and for all. And your only hope, because you will not long for Yahweh. You will not long for Christ on your own. You will not live for Christ because you decide to live for Christ. You will not linger in the family of faith. You will not linger in the study of God's word because you want to. You will, by God's mercy and grace, be drawn to. You will be made to. He will put these desires in your heart. And then he turns it around because he's the only, that's why we have a Savior. Because we need to be saved from our propensity, because our normal natural inclination is to want these other things. To live and long for these things. To linger in this sin. So anyone that tries to share with you a message that you can pick yourself up and you can change your life, be very suspect. And I pray you would at least hear me on this. I say this humbly and I speak the truth in love. I'm saying that our only hope is to understand, to ask that God, by his enabling Holy Spirit, to move us out, because we won't get out. And here's how we know that. Look what happens. Verse 15, as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot. Have you ever, as a parent, urged your kids to do something and you ask them once and they haven't done it? And you ask them a second time and they haven't done it. And you're urging, hey, I need you to get this done, right? They won't do it because their inclination is to do what they want to do, not what you ask them to do, right? But as morning dawned, the angel Lot saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. And notice that. The angels are being very specific. Don't miss this detail. Some of us can. Is that he's not saying, go find anyone in the city. God is saying, here we, the angels are speaking truth. They're saying the only ones that can be saved in this scenario are those that I have chosen, those that I have saved. So take your wife and your two daughters. Now, he's going to use that to teach us another lesson. We'll get there eventually, here pretty quickly. But you can see what's happening very specifically here. Take your wife and two daughters who are here. They're here. They're under his protection, right? Lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. This is not just destruction for destruction's sake. This is God's justice. It's pure, it's holy, it's right, it's going to happen whether we like it or not. God is God and we are not. He's gracious, he's loving, he's just, and all that he does, he's holy. He is altogether holy. Amen? And this is why we know he's right in what he's doing. So there is divine punishment. There is divine, let me put it another way, there is divine discipline. What's happening with Lot? Certainly realizing the situation that he's in. Certainly because he understands from Uncle Abraham, he's figured out, oh, this is what Uncle Abraham has been saying. Oh, I get it now. Wow. Certainly that would cause him to just turn a corner, go 180 degrees and say, yep, I'm all in. Here we go. Yes, I'm ready. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Apparently that's not exactly what happened. In verse 16, but he lingered. If you think that you can just so easily, on your own, take yourself out of your sinful life, think again. If you think you can just, you know, after living that way for such a long time, that it's just, there's a lingering that happens. And he lingered. And that struck me when I reached that part of the text and I began to consider the weight of that and what it meant, even just for me. When have I lingered? It's when I've lingered, when the most destruction has come. When the consequences that have come out of that lingering are with me to this very day. It's in that lingering that has caused shifts, and it's God's mercy that I'm still alive, but I still have to learn, because it is a reminder to me God is so loving and he's so awesome and he's so gracious to me that he would leave that in my life as a thorn in the side so that I can remember who I am in and of myself, and that I'm called to trust him by faith and faith alone, not in what I know, not in some ideological system, but in God himself. But Lot lingered. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of Lots who linger. There is a lot of Lots right now who are lingering in their sin. Brothers and sisters, this is happening even in the church. Professing believers who are lingering in sin, yet coming Sunday after Sunday, worshiping the God that they say they serve, and they leave and they continue to linger, live, and long for their sin. And so my prayer is that by God's mercy and his grace, that he would wake us up and that we would hear the clarion call. And if it takes whatever it takes, man, that God would do that in my life so that I could be spared the judgment that is coming to the city. God is so good. We get lost in our way of thinking. We get lost in our way of living. We have our own ideas. We have our own opinions. We will argue people to death about all of this stuff. And yet, God is just merciful and gracious, because all of that is going to keep you in Sodom. It's going to keep you in the city. It's going to keep you lingering. And yet, God's plan here is to rescue his own in spite of Lot and his heart. He lingered. So, here's what happens. Look at the rest of that verse. The men seized him and his wife and two daughters by the hand. I don't think Lot picked himself up and ran to Jesus. He didn't come up and sign a card. He was dragged in. Brothers and sisters, if you've been rescued, praise God. If you've been snatched out of the clutches of the enemy, praise God. This is what we see here. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to them. Amen? Wow. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life." And this is important, and we all know why. Most of us do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Remember, let's rewind a little bit. When Lot looked down on Sodom, said, "That's where I want to go." And God is now, "Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." But here's what happens. When we are fighting our sin. Oh, that famous writing by John Owen, The Mortification of Sin. If you have never read anything like that, I encourage you to at least read some of that. Oh, how we fight our sin every day, brothers and sisters. It is a battle. But God's mercy is more. As we learn to grow in the truth and what is happening here, we see that God is merciful. But here we have Lot continually to struggle in his sin because of the longing, because of the living, because of the lingering in his sin. He is struggling to even let this go, even though he knows it's right. "Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh, no, my lords." Oh, here we go, bargaining with God. Have you ever had a moment in your life where things are not going well and all of a sudden it brings you to your knees? What is the first thing you say? "Oh, God, help me. And if you help me in this, I'll fill in the blank." We bargain. I mean, this is not... Imagine God's mercy and God's forbearance to put up with us that way. To God love us that much that he wouldn't just, you know, like, "Okay, that's enough." But he loves us too much. And he's forbearing. He's putting up with us because he knows the end. Because he already sees what we could never see. Because he has made a promise and that promise is going to be fulfilled. Praise God for that. But here you have the sinner struggling with the sin, bargaining with God or God's angels at this point. "Behold, the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one?" I can only imagine this interaction. "And my life will be saved." Like, "I know you want to save my life. Obviously, you would have left me there, right?" And there's a lot that we have to be careful with some of that. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing here is, again, it reveals our condition as sinners. That's why Paul said what he said in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." He also said, "There is no one righteous, no, not one." And we see Lot exhibiting that right here. And so he said to them, verse 21, "Behold, I grant you this favor." Notice this. Even though Lot could pray this prayer in the state that he was in, it was God's grace that was extended. It was God's prerogative to act in this way. You see, Lot could not make any demands. Did you notice that? Lot did not name and claim that little city. He pleaded, and God was gracious because God didn't have to do it. "So behold, I grant you this favor that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little. And we see this tremendous narrative encouraging us to really consider the state of our heart. Oh my gosh. One theologian put it this way, and I want to share with you these words as you read something like this. Well, even all of chapter 19, as unbelievable as it is, and yes, we have to be confronted with this text no matter what. He said this, "The more sins men heap together, the higher will their wickedness rise, and the nearer will it approach to God to cry aloud for vengeance." That's what a longing for sin, a living in sin, a lingering in sin, and then being called to leave your sin is that is our only hope, is our only progression. Then there's Lot's wife. What do we make of that? Lot's wife, the family is running from the city, and they were told explicitly to not look back. Now, while we don't often think of it, there's more going on here than which direction her face is pointing. The angels are telling Lot and his family that they aren't supposed to simply flee for their lives, but leave the city behind. What does that mean for me? For me personally, I'm just speaking for myself. As I take that personally, I say, Ed, leave your sin behind. To drop their past without any desire to touch it again. It's understood then that Lot's wife isn't looking back simply out of curiosity or to make sure that the city is burning sufficiently. Lot's wife, it seems, is looking back because she can't let the city go. Her feet may be running from it, but her heart stands still. She isn't judged for looking, but for longing. The Lord, it seems, looks to the heart rather than the feet. Isn't that amazing? And brothers and sisters, Genesis 19 reminds us that not all nostalgia is good nostalgia. And not all longing is good longing. That's why we must pray that the Lord would help us. If we have realized after hearing the word of the Lord that we have been lingering in our sin, justifying it with a few things here and there, making sure that we're attending a service or doing something. But it is becoming clear and apparent because of the convicting power of the Word of God that we are being called to leave that lifestyle, to leave that sin. All this occurs in Lot's life, and yet he's still called righteous. Remember the passage? I believe Pastor Eddie alluded to it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It says, if by turning the cities, this is the Apostle Peter now writing in the first century, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, that's the first time he mentions that, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived, second time among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Amen. And to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. And that's the point here, brothers and sisters. That day of reckoning is coming again. Every Sodom and Gomorrah is going to ultimately be destroyed. So this is important for us to see the significance of what this points to. This that day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Boy, tell me if that doesn't sound close to home. And it says bold, as that verse 10 ends, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Brothers and sisters, the good news is this. The good news for Lot in that day, the good news for us who are Lots in this day, is God will not let you be comfortable in your sin. You may be longing for it, you may be now living in it, you may be lingering in it, but you will not be comfortable. You will be tormented if you belong to Christ. If you understand that before the foundations of the world, you've been chosen, set into a family, you've been snatched out of that destruction. I love what Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 and 5 says. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins. Look at that. Come out of her. The angels are taking Lot and his two daughters out. They're the ones, they're the only ones that are going to be spared. Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Brothers and sisters, God never forgets. And he remembers for all the right reasons. We are not so righteous, are we, in and of ourselves? We remember with bitterness and with vengeance and with ugliness and wickedness. In Genesis 18:20, then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave. This is the reason. There is a cry that comes up to the Lord. There is something that your sin does. Your sin, my sin, and the sin of society, the sin of the culture, whatever age we live in, that sin goes up to God in a loud chorus. And it will bring with it God's righteous judgment and discipline. Numbers 16:21, this is all over Scripture. Separate yourselves as you see the angels pulling Lot and his wife and his daughters out. Separate yourself from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Numbers 16:26, a little later on down, and he spoke to the congregation saying, depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins. Numbers 16:45, a little later on down the chapter there, get away from the midst of this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. Amen. We are brought to humble contrition and repentance. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 34:22. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Praise God. Matthew 24:15-18. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Remember, the angels saying, go to the mountains. Lot said, can you let me go to Zoar? Which was, I think, originally named Bela. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. Lot's wife looked back. And let the one who is in the field not turn back or take his cloak. Hey, don't worry about your clothes. Isn't that something how some of us in the middle of, like, let's say something tragically, God forbid that, you know, our house is burning down and we're worried about getting our computer out or something. Right? I mean, a good parent's going to tell their kids, we're all going to get out of here, okay? We're not taking, but don't worry about anything. But think about this. This is incredible how all of this kind of a narrative, and unfortunately, the sad thing is, you see this again. You would say, wow, this is a crazy account we're reading here in Genesis 18 and 19, especially 19. Wow. But to have that happen again? Wow. In Genesis 13:10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw. Remember, this is how everything starts for many of us, Lots. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley. Was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 14:2, remember that. These kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersa, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela. Hebrews 11:7. We understand how in the world, after all of this, would Lot be spared? By faith, not by Lot, not because Lot knew a lot, but by faith. Noah, he believed God. He believed what God said, that otherwise he wouldn't have built a boat. Abraham believed and took his son Isaac. He had faith. He didn't know exactly how this was going to go, but this is what God said to do. I'm going to do it. It is by that faith and the prayers of a faithful uncle who intercedes. And brothers and sisters, those of us who are faithful in the church should intercede for our brothers and sisters who are struggling in sin. Amen? Intercede for them. They are in trouble. And you cannot rescue them, but you can pray for them. You can intercede for them. You can, you know, have some sort of intervention and bring the word of God to bear, but pray that God would have mercy on them. So here we have in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Amen. Genesis 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That's Abraham. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say this, with respect to this, this is in regard to just being sucked in, giving in to the longings of our sinful desires, and then being rescued out and being set to live and called to live in a different way. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. We see a thread of that here in this account, especially earlier in the chapter. Pastor Eddie preached last Sunday. Brothers and sisters, every human heart instinctively, by God's design, knows that there's a problem. Romans 1:32, though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. May God have mercy on us. And brothers and sisters, our only hope as we hear something like this is to plead before the Lord. If you've been brought to the place where you can now, you're experiencing the conviction, the loving hand of discipline from your good Father who loves you and has set you apart, then respond and repent. Turn from your sin today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to turn and leave your sin. No more longing for that which is an abomination to the Lord. No more living in a way that is an abomination or is an affront to God. No more lingering in a place that you know you don't belong. Leave it and be set right in the family of God. Be set right with God. Because the day of reckoning is coming. The people in Lot, look what we read about his sons-in-law. You're just joking. Just, we'll see you tomorrow. It'll all be okay. This is how our culture is living today. They are totally unaware of the impending doom. But you and I, as brothers and sisters, as people of the Word of God, should know better. Amen? And we must humbly speak the truth in love.